He couldn't make it today. There's well. Now our children, I've said that the room there should be for our children. The room there should be for our children. So bring the children and push them with Charity and Ahuma into that room. Let them have their meeting. We will believe God will put an air condition there also for them.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So that when they are there, they know they are there. They will not come and disturb us. God will give us access to the hearts and the souls of many people, and that we will be blessed in this land. We will prosper in this land. We will own properties in this land.
Amen.
In fact, there is one sister who is one of my favorite daughters. She's not here today. Every now and then, she will send something to me on social media. She will just be there. She will send something to me on social media. She will just send something to me to encourage me. Eden, I need you to sit up. She will just be there. She will send something to me on social media to encourage me. She sent me something this week. When I saw it, I'm like, wow. Wow. And I wrote something back, and she said exactly, because she was sending the thing so she can speak the God's word to me. And I said, wow, this thing is so powerful. God knows his people. We may be few, but God is doing something. When God turns our circumstances around, we'll be like those who dream. One friend was saying that the day he goes for evangelism with his team, that is the next day, that is where the church members will not even come to church. Even the church members he has already. The day they will go for evangelism, that day. Then Sunday, so they went for evangelism yesterday, Friday yesterday, the Sunday, even his own church members will not come. And the people that they were evangelized to will not come.
Fire.
He said, I did church for 6 months, and 6 months offering could not pay one day's meeting.
Mm.
6 months offering could not pay one day's meeting. Are you not blessed? Are you not, can't you be thankful to God for many things? Look, sometimes we complain about so many things, huh? But God has blessed us in so many ways. For you to have life, for you to have the energy, for you to be well. My God. He got to a point, his church members, when he was starting, it was just 2 members. Then one left, it became one. And today the story is different. So we are even better off. We can say thank you, Jesus, for the things that you do.
Amen.
All right, so let me just get into God's word, and I want to just be very brief this morning. And friends, those of us on social media, we welcome you. We want to say God bless you for being part of this service. Share this broadcast. Let it be a blessing to somebody this morning. As we get into the word of God. Are we live? As we get into the word of God. God is doing awesome things in the earth. And God have men. Never for one moment think that you are the only person that is left, or you are the craziest person in the world. Sometimes you'll be doing something, you look around, nobody is doing what you are doing, and you may start feeling uncomfortable. You may consider yourself as be weird, as off the road. But let me tell you, faith will cause you to be ridiculed or mocked. If you say you believe in God, if you say you have taken a stand, if you say you have taken a position, faith will allow you to be mocked. You will be laughed at. People will mock you because what you are doing, they will say this thing has no future. That business you are getting into, they will tell you this business has no future. That course you are pursuing, they will tell you that course has no future. But I am telling you that God knows better than man. God is not our grandfather. God is not even our biological father. God, he is God. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 says that anyone that comes to God must know that he is. So when we come to meetings like this, or in your private moment when you go to pray, when you go to fellowship with God, know that God is. Know that God is. He is not a human being. He is not a human being. A human being can tell you, I will never help you. It's okay. Because God is about to do something. So the human being will tell you, I will not be of help to you. A human being can tell you, except you, this door, I will never open this door for you. I will never open this door, never in my life, so long as I am alive. I will make sure you are disgraced. But God is not a human being. A human being can tell you, so long as I am alive, that position, you will never enter into that position. Listen, he is a human being. But God has the final say. And when God begins to do the things that he wants to do, it changes the story of men. He is the one that takes ordinary people and plant them among kings and princes. This is the God that we have come unto. This is the God that we call upon. We are not calling upon just any God. We are not calling upon just any God. The God that we call upon, he is God indeed. He knows everything. He knows your lying down, your rising up. He knows your tears. There's a song, it says, every tear that I cry, you hold them in your hand. You never left my side, even though my heart was all torn or something. God, he is God. When there is roadblock, but God says go, it's because he is God. That is why he said go.
Thank you.
That is why he said you should go. When God says, I will do a thing, he doesn't negotiate with men. Your life may look meandering, like you are going down. But listen to me. God, he is at work and he is taking you somewhere. When he would have finished with you, you will come forth as gold. You will come forth as excellent. You will come forth as a masterpiece, a craftsmanship that people will seek after. You will come forth. I was listening to a preacher and he said he went ministering in a particular church. And this guy, who is it a cleaner in the church? Who is a cleaner in the church? He prophesied, and with all the prophecies, he mentioned things accurately. This one, he called this one, he called Akosia, he called this, he called all of this, detail. When he came to this brother, it was around July. And he looked at the brother and said, in the next 6 months, by the end of this year, you are going to be a billionaire. You are going to be a billionaire or billionaire. The whole church went, no, this one, dear. And then, I don't want to mention your name again. And everybody went, what is this? What is happening? Go outside. Get out. Get out. If you're going to sit here and sleep, get out. Get out. He has the guts to step out. He has the guts and the courage to step out. Get home, I'll deal with you properly. Because you can't leave your bed and come and sleep in a meeting. It means that there is something wrong with you. I mean, that's my son. You want to misbehave, I'll deal with you simply. I mean, I don't. This time I've changed, yo. This time I've changed. This time I've changed. Everybody said, what is this? 6 months down the line. In fact, when they closed, the pastor, his host, was saying, prophet, this one, you know, all the prophecies, they are accurate, and
But it's okay if you miss one of them. It's okay if you miss one. It's okay if you miss one. It's okay if you miss one. And I was wondering, what is the host talking about? What is this host talking about? To the glory of God, by December, there stood a millionaire among them. Listen, God is not man. That is why, you see, the reason I'm asking to step out, you see, where can you, in front of his teachers, will he go and do this? So what do you mean? Who are you? In front of, if it's a good father, will you do this? Because you don't see God. You see, we have to be very careful, eh? The same God who was in the Old Testament, the same God today. New Testament, the same God. Ananias and Sapphira went lying before God. Lying before God. And in the New Testament, they fell dead. Didn't Jesus Christ resurrected, died and resurrected and left? So you see that we don't have today. I mean, in church, many people don't have the right attitude. Bad attitude. If we want to see the hand of God, we must do the impossible. We must do the impossible. We must have attitude. I mean, when I was his age, when I was your age, I mean, you are about the same age with him. But you are sitting here, you are listening to the word of God. How can you be dozing off? Who are you? He wants to change my message. No, I'm not going to be lenient. Wherever. You see, Bible says that spare the rod. So if it is him who is dozing off, you think I will not do say? I do the same. When Precious comes to church and he does the display, what do I do? So if I go to Precious, won't I go to my own son? So it means that nobody, including me, I cannot come and sit here when somebody is preaching and I'll be dozing off. I can't do that. And he has the guts and the courage to step out. I'll meet him. I know a preacher was preaching this, the one of the sons was misbehaving in the service. He removed his jacket quietly and he had braces on. He removed his belt. He lashed him very well and put him in one of the seats. In front of everybody, continued preaching. He's in the States. The son said, "Hey, my father, no, you can't joke. You can't joke." So let me get into this in just about 30 minutes. We've been talking about equipped for the work of ministry. In many, many ways, many people will not want such a word. Because people will prefer the word that is, God bless you. God bless you. The Lord will open a door for you. And then we say amen. And the Lord kill your devil. Amen. The Lord kill your mother-in-law. Amen. The Lord kill your father. Amen. It's your father that is doing you. Amen. And you have breakthrough. And we need all of that. We need the breakthroughs. But there is something that is more important in this life. If you miss it, you are finished in this life. It's called purpose.
Thank you.
It is the reason why you will find a medical doctor will hang himself and kill himself.
Okay.
It's the reason why somebody has risen to become a lawyer, qualified. 3 months, 6 months, he would shoot himself because life has no meaning. I saw a video, there is a hotel room in America, a hotel in America now, you can go if you want to kill yourself. You want to end your life, you can go and rent and end your life. I saw the video. Oh, I saw the video, it's not acting. I saw the video, they were explaining. They have knives, they have ropes, you can hang yourself, they have blades, they have all kinds of foolish things. You can rent a room, it's okay, you want to die. It's the end of the world. You can rent a room and kill yourself. They will give you all the necessary support to end your life. But I know there should be some legal, a lot of legal things back in it. There should be a lot of legal things back in it. If you miss purpose, life will be hard and difficult. But sometimes the pathway of fulfillment of purpose is not easy. It's hard. It's full of mockery. It's full of obstacles. It's full of shame. It's almost like life is going down when life ought to be going up. And so it's important that we discover the purpose of the gifts of God, the context in which they are given. If we understand the context in which the gifts of God are given, we become more powerful. We become more stronger. We become confident. If you are an engineer and you are not convinced, and you have discovered your essence as an engineer, you beat your chest. You don't apologize for it. Because your self-worth is buried in your skin, in who you are. So today you find somebody in some skin, maybe he's wearing the designer clothes, they are not even coming to mind anymore. He is wearing some nice designer clothes, and you find the person is pompous and feel confident. And the person says, I am wearing this designer. And the person thinks that this closes in and underscore my self-confidence. When you are supposed to be confident in who you are, but you are wearing a certain name, a certain brand, which is somebody's name. The names are not even coming. I'm trying to. Albert, will you give me one name?
Gucci.
It's somebody's name. This is somebody's name you are proud of. So can't you also have your own design, and that design is called Endless? I'm wearing a designer called Endless, and my name is Endless. Can't you also have a designer, and your name is, the designer is Mark? You see, it is time that we become confident in who we are, not in the things that we have, not in the things that we possess. A man's life, Jesus said, does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added to you. So it's important that we understand these things. Now, today I will draw the curtain on the context in which the gifts are given. The context in which the gifts are given. I'll draw the curtain on that. The context in which the gifts are given. About two Sundays ago, three Sundays ago, I was talking to you about how the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and inseparable from the body. That you can't take what is called the body of Christ and remove the apostle, and then you say the body is complete. You can't take an ecclesia. An ecclesia is a call out ones. We are the call out ones. We can sit anyhow, we can meet down the roadside, we can meet Sunday afternoon, we can meet Sunday evening, we can meet Monday morning, we can organize in our office, we can organize in our homes, we can have fellowship wherever we find ourselves, wherever we work, play, and have fun. We can organize ourselves. But we can't take that constitution and that life and take a prophet out of it, or the grace of the prophetic out of it, and we say we are complete. We saw through scripture how God had designed that with the same grace and the intensity that it was declared from the beginning, as he has given gifts. We look at the word gave, that he gave gifts unto men. That word is used in the context like an independence declaration. If you came in 100 years after that independent declaration, is that independence still valid or not? It's still valid. Am I correct? So if Jesus declared it 2,000 years ago, he gave gifts unto men, even to today, that declaration continues to hold. And our life as a body, as a church, as God's ecclesia, as God's representation in the earth, ought to have that fuel, that chemical called an apostle, that chemical called a prophet, that chemical called an evangelist. Your individual life must have that chemical called a pastor and a teacher inside you. He did not just give us prophets, apostles, teachers, and evangelists, and pastors, and all, so that we just get one breakthrough and we walk away. He gave these men to us so that we can become for the work of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, in the verse 12 says, for your work, you have a ministry, friend. You have a calling. You have a place. It doesn't matter in what context you were born. Somebody, I tell you, you are from a broken home, and so what? You have a calling. You have a destination in God. You have a purpose. Somebody can say you were born out of wedlock. It doesn't matter. You have a ministry. And if we say, who is a minister? Not the thing that is done today. Like I was saying the other time, musicians, you find a lot of musicians, minister this, minister that, and that it has become a title of an accolade and a badge of scoring you and underscoring your bottom line. So if you're not called minister this, you are offended. It is not a title. It is a functionality. It's a lifestyle. It's who you are. Your ministry is you. You can't separate that thing from you. Your ministry determines who you marry. Your purpose determines who you marry. Look, when you marry the wrong person, you are finished. Because when male and female, should we marry the wrong person, we are finished. Because our calling determines where we go, where you will be. And these things, if we do not understand them, life becomes a struggle. Life becomes a challenge. We shouldn't be 50 before we are looking for purpose. We shouldn't be 80 before we are looking for who we are. At a young age, we should have discovered ourselves. In the company of apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, we should now be enhancing our capacities and our giftings. I believe that God has placed this fivefold gift inside the body for king making, so that men can be made kings. Men can be brought into expression of their purpose and their destiny and their call, so that men will receive a brand new energy in them that strengthens them to fulfill the call of God upon their lives. So the previous week, we've looked at this closely. We've looked at how this plays out. We've looked at how this functions. Today, I want to just close with a particular scripture. And I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Please go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, before I get into talking about that scripture, I'm just going to share something very, very brief. Before I get talking about that scripture, you know, many people today, there are some people who argue there are no prophets. Even with all the manifestation that is ongoing, there are some people who still argue there are no prophets. There are some people who still argue there are no, it's only pastors that are available. There are no prophets today. There are some people who still argue, oh no, the season of evangelists are past. There are no evangelists today. Apostles died long ago. When Peter and the rest died, all apostles ended. It's only pastors. That argument is very wrong. I do not have all the time to begin to go into church history and show you all of these things. If we're doing a seminar, I will get into all of that and show you from this season to that season and to that season, this is what God has done. But turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and let's look at some important passage. Ephesians chapter 2.
And the thing is broken, no?
It's broken.
Yeah, it's broken. It's all right.
It's broken.
I'm not wearing any shirt I can hang it on, so that's the result.
Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look from the verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, let's look from the verse 19. Now therefore, please listen carefully. We are talking about the body and the essence of the ministries that have been given. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Now therefore, since you became born again, going forward, you and I are no longer strangers. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. So you see, when people enter into the gathering of the saints and you begin to behave like a foreigner, do you know how a foreigner behaves? The attitude is very clear. It doesn't conform to the culture or the spirit of the place. It seeks to divide. It seeks not to bring about unity. It creates strife. It creates confusion. It doesn't allow a holding together. When, for example, assuming there was somebody who was leading songs here and the person is commanding a particular attitude, somebody decides to now do, it is a foreigner attitude.
Ness is laughing.
It's a foreigner culture. When we are looking at the culture of the kingdom of giving, now there is somebody who will say, as for me, I will not give one CD, I will not give $1, I will not give anything. It's a foreigner. Listen carefully. When there is generosity, somebody says, I am holding back. It's a foreigner culture. It is alien to the kingdom. When there is the culture of prayer, somebody says, you people pray too much. It is an alien culture. So we have to understand where we are coming from. And we have to understand where we have arrived at. Paul said, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. There are two words you're seeing there, fellow and citizenship. You have come into a new country. You have naturalized. You have removed the old identity of the old country, and you have now signed to be part of a new nation. And that nation has its own culture, its own attitude, its own ways, and its own atmosphere. That nation is not a nation that is holding on to itself, but it's a nation that is fellow citizen. It welcomes and connects to another. It's a nation that builds friendship. Paul is saying, when you were in the world and you did not live a life that connects to people and a life of shared life, you rather live a life of greed. The nation you have arrived into is a nation where we are fellow. Whether an apostle, prophet, whether the richest man in the city belongs to this particular family, we are fellow. We have arrived in a place of shared life. Listen to what it says. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, and members of the household of God, and members of the household of God, and members of the household of God. I keep saying that many people do not know why they attend church, why they attend services, why they attend the meeting, because we have not been taught, so our commitment is poor. So people commit to a place because, okay, I'm going to get, I know somebody who said, oh, I'm just going to that meeting. Once I get my miracle, I'll stop. I'm like, look at this person. He doesn't understand the essence of family. We have become one family. We are under one God. Turn to the book of John chapter 10, the verse 16. Somebody should read it for me. John chapter 10, the verse 16, quickly. Let me just pull something from there. John 10, 16. John 10, 16. Then I'll continue in Ephesians chapter 2. Who is there? Yes. Quickly.
I have other sheep.
He said, other sheep I have. That are not here in this sheepfold. Are you listening?
I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice.
You're not using a microphone. Why? He said what? They will do what?
Listen to my voice.
Okay.
They will be one flock with one shepherd.
They will be one flock under one shepherd. This is a family we have come into. We are not a mongrel being where we are now of the family and the one that is heading you is different from the one that is heading me. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The one that is over you, that is instructing you, should not be different from the one that is instructing me. The one that is instructing me must be King Jesus, and the same person must be king over you as well. This family we have arrived in is not a family in which we do as we like. It's not a family that we are a law unto ourselves. It's not a family that we beat our own chest in our own strength. It's a family in which our strength ends and God's strength begins. It's a family in which our old identity ended and God's brand new identity and calling for our life starts off. He said, no longer are you strangers. No longer am I a stranger. I'm no longer a foreigner. As I belong to the household of God, Bible says we are fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. I belong to this country. There is a constitution of this country that governs my life. I can't do anyhow. I can't behave anyhow. There is order. When you were in a certain system, a certain world where you do as you like, you are a law unto yourself. In this country that we have come unto, it's a country of order where you have capacity to do anything, but this time they say sit down and you have to sit. They say get up, you have to get up. In this country of God, it is not about what you can do and what your money can necessarily do. You can have all the money and God says, do not do. He said, but I have the money. I can do anything that I can do. It must be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In this country, it is life in us. It is the thing that makes us legal to stay in the country. I hear Nogokpo, they say, Nogokpoa. Will you sit down quietly? Will you sit in this country quietly? If you not sit in this country quietly, one day in the country of God, the Bible says that there was an insurrection.
The Satan swept at 1/3 of the angels, and they followed after him. And there was an insurrection. And in that country, there are no insurrections. There is obedience. And the Bible said they threw him out. They kick him out. Listen, we have lived so much in the world. Look, I was listening to a man of God. He said one day, one of his daughters brought a lady. Brought a guy, a man. And they said they are going to marry. And he said to the man, he said, "Mister, how old are you?" And the man says, "I'm 40 years old. And he said, "Mm-mm." The man is the prophet is a Nigerian. And he said, "Mm-mm." I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 40 years old. I don't approve of you, the two of you marrying. I don't approve the two of you marrying. But you know what somebody was, oh, this pastor, what does it mean? Me, I've gotten my toffee, I want to lick you. Are there, you want to spoil my chance. What do you mean? Why are you telling me I should stop this job? Why are you telling me I should?" I saw a friend prophesy to a guy. He said, "What work do you do?" He says, I'm self-employed. He said, "No. What work do you do?" He said, "I am self-employed." "What work do you do?" He said, "I'm self-employed." He said, "What is self-employed?" I said, "I'm a lotus taker." I said, "Papa, God says if you don't stop the work you are doing, you will die. That is why I'm asking you this question. That what work exactly do you do? Because I don't understand why God will say to me, if you don't stop this work, you will die." And this man of God said he was telling the lady. And the man said, "I don't approve of you." He said, "My daughter, get out. I want to talk to him alone." He said, "Mr. Man, you are not 40 years old. You are 63 years old. I'm carrying this oil. With this oil I've carried right now, I'm going to pour this oil on you. If you are 40 years old, you will live. If you are 63 years old, you are lying, you will die." He said, I am 63 years old. I am 63 years old. "Mr. Man, how many children do you have?" "I don't have any children." You see, in this kingdom, we have to be very careful. This is the kingdom of God. It is not the kingdom of our grandfather we can go and lie to. Some of us can lie. I was talking to one preacher. Somebody came to visit me some years back when I was in Nigeria. That person who came to visit me, he destroyed some relationships around me. He destroyed relationships around me. He went from, after he traveled and went back, anything he saw in my house, any conversation in my house was in another room where my physical presence was never there. And so I was talking to this friend of mine. And he said, "Oh," then he mentioned the person, said, "Oh, he can lie." Some of us can lie till lies have become our identity. Has become who we are. And the preacher said, "No, you are lying to me. You have 4 children. You are married and you have 4 children." He said, "No." He said, "I'm taking this oil. I will pour this oil on you. If you have 4 children, you will die. If you do not have 4 children, you will live." He said, "Don't pour it. Don't pour it. It's true. I have four children. Then he called the lady who is a member of the community. It's called the household of God. You see, sometimes when you are in a family and they are telling you what you are doing is not good, change your attitude, change your character, change your ways. Inside the family of God, if you don't change, you will go outside and disgrace yourself. It's only in the family we can be corrected.
Thank you.
No, let's face reality. Somebody in the family must be able to tell me. He said, "The way you are going is wrong. The way you are running, the way you are headed, we are all seeing that you are going to fall into a ditch. Overspeed day inside. You up a song journey." He said, "Sit down." He said, No, I'm standing." He said, "But why are you so arrogant?" He said, "I am not arrogant. I am okay. I'm normal." He said, "Jump." He said, but why should I jump? It doesn't make sense. When we go into the household of God, Naaman went before a prophet and he had his own design for the miracle. Why did you go to the prophet?
Okay.
If you have your own way that the miracle will come to pass, why did you go among the community of God? He got angry on you on his way going. He says, I thought the prophet would have come out and strike my chest and say something. And then, boom, the miracle will happen. It is not about your ways, but it's about the household of God. There's a certain culture. There's a certain lifestyle. I'm just taking time to emphasize this because I'm going to touch on something and then I will end. There's a certain value system. When you go into Ghanaian restaurant, local Ghanaian restaurant, Chop Bar. When you go to Chop Bar and you start smelling fried rice, is that in a local restaurant or it has transformed? Now, should you go and say, oh, this is Chinese restaurant? Chinese what? Restaurant. You have gone to Chinese restaurant, and when you step through the door, you are hearing doom, 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 doom. What do you think is going on? And then you are smelling momoni and palm nut soup. What do you think is going on over there?
Fufu
is going on. That thing is not a Chinese restaurant. When God enters into his household, he has to smell something. We have to smell in a certain way. Our thinking must be in a certain way. Our ways, and I'm going after that. Because of time. I don't want to pull this meeting into 11:30. Listen, I'm reading a scripture. Let me go back verse 19. Let me read down and just follow through. It says that, now therefore you are no longer strangers. So today I abdicate my stranger status. I leave it. I can now connect to this brother and feel comfortable.
Thank you.
I will not be holding back. Oh, and maybe he doesn't have money. Bible says you are fellow citizens, whether money or maybe he has too much money. I can't get, he is too much in a certain class. That class, we are fellow citizens. 6 feet at last.
Thank you.
6 feet at last. Also, and by being a 6 feet, some people are buried in premium in Israel. Premium grave.
Yes.
Premium grave. The sand too is premium. The sand was imported from the Red Sea and Mediterranean Sea. Ah, in fact, where Jesus Christ walked, that is where they brought the sand from, your own good. Premium citizenship. Though we are many, we are one body. We are one body in Christ. Though we are many, we are one body. We are one body in Christ. One hope in one God. One Father over all. One hope, something, one love, one something. Binding us together in Christ. The scripture we read in John chapter 10:16, it says that, it said, other sheep I have which are not here, them also I will bring, they will be in one fold. One household. It said there will be one flock and they will hear the sound of the shepherd, one shepherd. So when we begin to hear different sounds, that is where we have confusion among us. Because we are not paying attention to the voice of the King who is over us. So the story I was telling, let me close, say the story and continue. He said, he called a daughter in and he said, my daughter, this marriage, I don't approve it. Don't marry him. Mister, leave this girl alone. Don't marry this girl. And the girl left. That's why my father is just making too known and this and that. Listen, don't joke with father. Even if your father is walking like this, please honor him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm saying something to you. I've seen things happen. Look, one of the guys who plays drum for us here, you know him. You all know him. Now, do you know what he told me? I think he gave the testimony. He said now he pays his own school fees. Now he can pay his own school fees. He was at loggerheads with his father. And some of you witness when I prophesied to him, I said, honor your father. Do you recall? Yes. Honor him. Don't fight with your father. Stay cool. Stay calm. I spoke and encouraged him and prophesied that you're going to get a scholarship and God is going to open the door, and somebody found him and gave him a scholarship. He paid school fees about two times or something. Then the person said, now where you have gotten to, let me get you a job. And now he is paying his own fees and he's so happy and he still honors his father.
Thank you.
Whatever you hate your father for, you will become.
Yeah.
Well, I told him. I said, whatever you think your father is and you are hating him, you are angry, you continue. Very soon, you said your father is a drunkard, so you also be a drunkard very soon. You can be praying whatever tongues before you realize you are a drunkard.
Let's see.
What am I talking about? This girl said, oh, my father didn't forget about him and he doesn't know what he's talking about me. And he left. And then the man said, oh, they need to travel. And then they travel. Long story short, they travel. In their journey, they got somewhere and they said, come down. And he said, when they got to the place, they were just killing human beings like fowl. I mean, you are just there. They just put the sword in your throat. They cut it. They were killing. They were killing and killing. She was not the only person. There were so many people that were, they were just killing in some forest in Nigeria. So when he got to her turn, he said, the men suddenly became weak. The men who were killing suddenly became weak. They became weak and tired of killing. You think it's easy to kill a human being? Eish! That thing is, I can't even think it. Something must be inside you in order to do that. Then the one who was the head, who was doing the killing, said, but you, who are you? He said, my father is so-so and so-and-so. And so. He said, your father is so-and-so. You know something? He said, I'm not going to touch you. We are leaving this place. I'm going to tell all the men, when they wake up, I'll tell them that we need to go to the next location. So we are going to execute you at the next location. When in the journey, we will get somewhere in the journey, because I know the place. When we get there, and I say, or I do... I try to clear my throat. He said, as soon as you hear that, begin to cry that you want to go to the nature's core. So on in the journey, they got to the place and the man said, and the lady said, please, I want to ease myself. I want to take care of myself. I am uncomfortable. Something is happening to me. And would you allow her to do that in the car? No. So they stopped. And the man who was the head told us, go to that place. Go to that place more. And they know that where they have got to, this lady cannot run anywhere. I mean, I don't know if you have seen the video too. I have even downloaded it in Po. They know that this lady cannot run anywhere. So in their experience, come and sit down. In their experience, they were just talking to one another, and he had told the lady, he said, when you enter into the bush, you know what you have to do. Run. Just run. Run. Just continue to run. Run. And when she got in, she began to run. Then she was running. About 10 or 15 minutes later, they came to themselves. And they started looking for her, but the girl was gone. When she came back, she started confessing and apologizing. Listen, you don't misbehave with spiritual leaders.
Okay.
Because sometimes your pastor may not be seeing visions. So when I go out and I preach for certain pastors, I tell their members, your pastor doesn't see vision, but honor him. Respect him. Respect him. I ministered in a church. The pastor doesn't see vision like I see. But the day I was coming to the place, he called another member, a wife and a husband, in a branch, and told them that Prophet Mark is coming to the meeting. So the two of you come to the meeting. They've married for 6 years without a child. They've done whatever, they have given up. I am preaching. I finished teaching. And I was standing in front of the pulpit like this. And the Spirit of the Lord said, lift up your eyes and look there. And I look at a certain lady who was standing. No, the lady was there. I said, lady, get up. And I said, the man sitting by you, is that your husband? He said, no. I said, I'm seeing four children, but the children are not in your life. How many children? You have said nothing. I said, come forward today. Tonight when you go and get pregnant and have children. By the next time I was visiting the place, in fact, she was like this. And the pastor was telling me, in fact, within this week, she was going to give birth. Listen to me. You don't joke with spiritual authority. She came back, confessed, I am sorry, my father, and all of that. Listen, when we come into the household of God, we are citizens. We have a new identity. We have a new passport. This passport travels every country. But there has to be something. You can't go to Chinese restaurant and be hearing tim. We are going to Chinese restaurant today. And then when we enter to Chinese restaurant, all you are hearing tim. You know, you hear tim, tim. And then the man will do. You are wondering, is this Chinese restaurant or are they new frogs that are growing up? You wonder. You wonder. When we come into the household of God, in fact, let's search scripture for the culture of the household of God and live it. One of the culture of the household of God is prayer. And so even I am not waiting to come to the household of God before I start praying. I am already a praying person and I'm coming to join my brother, fellow citizens with prayer. You see, in the household of God, there is care for one another. It's not about me alone. Every Sunday, I drive somewhere. I spend fuel every Sunday. You know, I'm learning something. When I learn the thing, I'm going to bring it. And I'll come and teach everybody here. Amen. Because if I pull $1 million, you to pull 1 million. Yeah. Let's be going. Yeah. It's not because he's a pastor, so he must have more than... You know the pride? Yeah. I am the pastor, so I must have all the money more than everybody. What are you talking about?
Respect.
We are fellow citizens. Look, I listened to a preacher. He said on this day he needed only 100,000 Ghana cedis. 100,000 Ghana cedis. And he was the next day the debtors were coming after him. And they are promising they will publish it in the papers and disgrace him. He needed only 100,000. You are saying 100,000 is it only? It's only. If people have $1 million in your house, 100,000 is it not only? 100 million dollars. Is it not only? What are you talking about? Stop respecting money too much. Money, we should honor money, eh? Because when you misbehave with money can mess you up. But sometimes you respect money too much that when they mention 100,000, you're like, hey. I told a story before that a carpenter who went to one of my a company I work for, the director's home, to work for the director, and he charged the director 60,000 Ghana cedis for the carpentry work alone in his house in Kumasi. And it tells you there's a lot that is going to happen. So he told the guy to come for the money in the house. And they went to the bank and they collected the money. So, you know, whether 5-5 bundle, 10-10 bundle, you know, 20 cedis bundle, they pack it all. So it will be kufu. And he said he deliberately did it. He wants to see something. Because the guy is mentioning big money. He doesn't know if the guy has handled it before. He said he wanted to see something. And so when the guy came, so he said, how much is the money? He said, 60,000. He was telling me. We traveled together. He said 60,000. So he said, okay. So he started taking the money one by one. So he started putting it again. The guy. 60,000.
God punished poverty.
God punished poverty indeed. God punished poverty indeed. Hey, listen. If you travel and there's money on you, you bluff, oh. Yeah. As soon as you are traveling, you are at the airport, you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, you know, your passport is legal. You the human being, you are legal. Your pocket is legal.
Yeah.
Hey. So, you know, you have no problem. Because you know, you are not carrying cocaine or any foreign material, any contraband. And so you are confident in yourself because your pocket is sweet. You enter into Dubai, for example, the shops, you are seeing the perfumes, you are saying, bring it on. But there is no money and you are sick. You are sick. Jehovah, punish poverty in our lives. Punish poverty in our lives. Ah, poverty, it destroys a man's confidence, eh? It destroys a man, a woman's beauty. You see a very beautiful woman. Very beautiful woman because of poverty.
Faded glory.
Faded glory, their faded glory. He is looking like he went to lie in a cement field. You know cement field? He's looking like he went to, I mean, you look at a person, you see that this person is a man of great honor and power, but poverty. The guy was shaking. And he said when he was putting the money, at some point the money started dropping. And he was shaking. 10 bundles, they were dropping. Shaking. May Jehovah punish poverty. May we see finances. May we see money. Hey, friend, when you discover something powerful that brings money, come and say, hey, Pastor, this is what I'm doing, you know? This is what I'm doing, and this thing is bringing some money. Can I share it with the brothers and the sisters so that they can also step into it and make some money for themselves? Yeah. You alone, you dey chop kule money. You dey chop. We are seeing that you are growing big. We don't know why you are growing big. We are seeking explanation. You are not giving us explanations. Share. It's called shared life. Share.
Yes.
Come and tell me, bring your brother in. Bring your sister in. Bring another person. Draw another person. Draw people. Put people in. Let them also become very... You alone. Huh? The pastor does not know. Like today, I'm not the fasting. I'm not fasting. I'm not part of that. I'm not fasting. You enjoy alone. Then we are suffering. Shared life. Fellow citizens of the household of God. I just want to conclude on this thing, and I'm struggling to even go into that scripture. So I was saying the pastor said he needed only 100,000. He said, one of my pastors is here. The day before, I don't know. He said, I don't know what God told him. I don't know what he heard from God. He said, he called me and I was in the house. I said, I'm in the house. He should come. When he came to give me exactly one of my pastors who is under me, came to give me 100,000 to solve the problem. He said, what the person I'm talking about, the person is sitting here. He's sitting here right now. Household of God. Every joint supplies. You cannot be in your corner and say, I am not a part of the family. I will not contribute anything. You must give off your best to the family. You must supply your grace. There is something in you. That is why you are a part of the family. God did not set you in that, even your biological family. He didn't place you there for fun, no. He placed you there to disgrace your family demons.
Okay.
He placed you there to honor your family. He knows that from your family you shall become a great man of honor. He knows. He placed you there. And so you have to strive and become that great man of honor. And when you become great, if it is Canada you entered into, draw that sister and bring him into Canada unless she's a devil. Yeah, unless she's a devil. If she's a devil, why should I carry? Abraham has a good heart. But he carried the devil. Even he went to war and still saved the devil. Eh? The guy kept making foolish decisions. A lot. Foolish decisions. How can you lift up your eye towards Sodom and Gomorrah and say the place is lush green? You Sodom and Gomorrah. You are looking at Sodom and Gomorrah and say the place is prosperous. Your vision is poor. You're not seeing correctly. You are seeing danger. It's a, oh, Charlie, the place is good. You are going to die.
I read song.
He even went. And in fact, when the angels arrive, when you look at that story carefully, when the angel arrived, two of them left and went to Sodom, and one was with Abraham. And Bible says that Abraham stood before the Lord, went and stood before the Lord, and the two angels left. When you read scripture, look in between there. Even God came down and talked to Abraham and said, you know something? I'm going to that city to destroy it. Can we talk about something? And say, oh, if you find righteous people, I know that my brother is there, he's a righteous man, but he made foolish decision looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he thinks that prosperity is there instead of staying here and all. After they captured Lot, he still gathered 300 servants from his house. He divided tactics. Abraham himself went to deliver. The guy is still not satisfied. There are some people like that, or church members, they are like that. You will kill yourself, you put your sword in your throat, you kill it. So this pastor didn't die enough. This brother, oh, he didn't die. He didn't die at all. He must die well. And that is where in the friendship or inside the community, they will crush your heart, they will mess you up. And if you're not careful, you say, I'm leaving. He just doesn't understand. He's just a jaguda in the family.
Okay.
I watch a video. I don't know why I'm struggling to get into that scripture. I watch a video. The guy drinks in the family. What is some Spanish people? He drinks. He would drink and even fall asleep like a dead person. Put him by this loudspeaker with all the sound, he will not wake up. So on this occasion, he drank and was very drunk. They had planned it. The whole family came together and planned that the day he will be drunk again, we'll organize his funeral. So he drank and was very drunk. And they organized his coffin, put him in a coffin. Because they had arranged it, they were tired. He is drinking, he cannot use money for anything. And you know, when you are a drunkard like that, you have friends who will help you to be drunkard. They will not give you 100 Ghana cedi, but they will spend, they can go to the bar with you 5 times. 10 cedi, 10 cedi, 10 cedi. They will pay 50 Ghana cedi for you to be drunk. And then you are walking with them like this. On the streets. They don't care. No, me, when I look at that thing, I don't understand. The person needs money to eat. Oh. They will, even the money they will not give to you. The food they will buy for you and them to eat and share. The next thing is that, let's go and get another thought. They will not put the money into you. That thing is demonic. So this guy, it was too much of a problem in the family. They became tired. I saw it on Facebook. I wish I'd download some of the things. If I see it, maybe I should be downloading them and just keeping them after some time I delete. So they took the coffin to church. He was drunk. They bathed him. They wore a suit for him, organized his funeral. What? As if they were going to bury him. But they didn't put those things in his nose. They took him to church. And the priest was there and the organ was And thankfully, the alcohol cleared. So he woke up. He sat in the coffin and started looking. I'm sure you will come across that video. It's on Facebook. They wrote, they said, he drinks too much and the family became tired of him. So he started looking around and everybody was serious face. Nobody was laughing. Everybody was thinking. So he went to the senior brother. He shook the senior brother. You are dead, man. You cannot be shaking somebody. So everybody was... The mother was sitting there. Everybody was solemn. Iron face. Please, 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 please. Iron face. After some time, they all bursted and started laughing. Then he became happy. I'm sure he will never drink again. I'm sure he will never drink again. So you see, when we enter into the household of God, there is a culture. There is shared life. There is prayer. There is hunger for God. And my brother, come, let's go. Let's go and pray. Let's go. Let's go to that meeting. We seen this conference for you. Let's attend. Let's pursue God. Now, look at what the scripture says. It says that you are members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in Jesus, the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. When we handle our place well, we become walking altars.
Okay.
You become an altar. You are a house of God, and you are walking down the streets. When we let me read those verses again. Listen again. It says, "You are the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, we have become the household of God. Our foundation is on the apostles and prophets." Not that we go and kill an apostle and put underground like some people do. And so this bone is a piece of relic. Is the bone of a dead saint. As we are coming to build this house, then they'll put it in the ground after they did the foundation, so that is misunderstanding and voodooism and witchcraft. We are talking about principle built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. It says that with the whole building fitted together, knitted together, joined together, becomes a holy temple for the Lord, and in whom you, in Christ, you and I, also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So I am walking and I am carrying God everywhere. Now listen and let me conclude. What are we saying? We are saying that the fivefold ministry is indispensable from our existence as a body. Two, Christ. You cannot remove Christ from your existence if you're going to be powerful. Built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. In every building, you are a contractor. You are into building and all of that. Now, do you know that in those days, ancient times, when they build, there is a particular pillar, there's a particular stone they call the chief cornerstone. If you don't put that thing in place, that whole building, finish it, it will come down. I'm very sure, even in modern design, there's a way designs are done, that there is one particular spot that will hold things in a certain way. You can build everything. If that spot, you do not do it well, it will not give the buildings the strength it deserves. You can remove every other thing, but if that thing is not there, the whole building will come. You can put every other thing is there, every other thing there. If that thing is not there, the building will come down. You can remove every other thing. If that thing is there, the building will still have some capacity. There was a project they were doing, and I said, "Oh, the way they've dug this thing, I don't like it. I want it from the foundation." The contractor said, No, you don't need to worry. He said, "This one is just three things. We can do it on the flooring. When we do the flooring, we can do it on it." But I insisted that let's do it from the foundation. He said, "Whether we do it from the foundation or not, there is enough capacity in the structure that will hold it. So we don't need necessarily. It's waste of cement and blocks, and as they do it. Me, I like it that way. I don't want problem." Listen, number one, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. The word foundation, or there are two ministries that we see, that we see apostles, we see prophets. What am I saying? You are supposed to become apostolic. You are supposed to become a prophetic. The word foundation, the word foundation is the word in the Greek that is themelios, like team. T-H-E-M-E-L-I-O-S, themelios. And it speaks of the foundation on which something is built. It speaks of a substructure, something you put under. That word simply means underlining principles, a substructure of a building. Now, you know that the foundation of a building gives shape and design to the building. You know that? How high you want the building to go is the foundation. That is why there are some buildings, they didn't think into the future. In fact, the people who were building didn't think into the future. When they now saw people building story buildings around, they decided to break their own and also do story on top. The next thing you see is that the building has sunk. Because the foundation, earlier foundation cannot carry it. And sometimes
They do the thing in a way I don't understand. Instead of even doing only one, they will do two or three on top. The foundation is not ready. The next thing, the thing comes out and kill people. If the foundation is not right, we cannot rise up. And the Bible says we have been built. Our nature in the household of God is that we have been built upon. When I enter Chinese restaurant, I have to smell Chinese. But now I enter into Chinese restaurant, I'm hearing tim tum and all of that. It means that the foundation that is in a Chinese restaurant is not really Chinese. I can sit there and order fufu, and identity is changed. So when God enters into our life, He wants to smell us. He wants to smell apostolic principles in us. He wants to smell intelligence in us. He wants to smell the confidence of the Father in us. He wants to smell wisdom in us. He wants to smell the capacity to do in us. He doesn't want to smell fufu when he has entered into a Chinese restaurant. When God enters into our world, you know who a prophet is? The prophet flows with the counsel of God. He carries evidently the mind of God. You and I should be able to hear God. Do you know what we will do if our churches, pastor, who is watching, our churches are full of people who can hear God? I hear there is a church, they don't like their people becoming very spiritual. Yeah. So they don't allow them to fast for too long. The highest they will take them to is 7 days fasting, finish. Because they believe that if the people become very sensitive, they will disturb the pastor. You must allow the people to become spiritual and sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that if that pastor was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, would you think you'd have carried 100,000 to go and give to his senior pastor, which would save him from shame and disgrace? He will still be holding the money and say, this more money is my own. This money, before you realize he has ordered pizza out of it, before you realize he has ordered shoe, before you realize he has given some 10,000 to somebody else, but the real purpose is missed because he was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have to raise a people who know God. A time is coming. It is not about I'm running to the prophet. I'm running to the apostle. A time is coming. Is the foundation of the principles and the culture that lies in the apostolic and the prophetic that will save you. The Bible says that wisdom and knowledge shall become the stability of your times. Isaiah chapter 33. Wisdom and knowledge shall become the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. Your born again will only be strengthened when you begin to walk in apostolic wisdom. Your born again will only be strengthened when you begin to walk in the knowledge of the prophetic. The prophetic is about knowledge, pulling down the knowledge of God, the design of things. What does God want? And apostolic is about wisdom. How do we do it? How do we craft it? The thing is like a dream, but we can carry it and make that thing to become so that we are not a people in the household of God who are vegetable, who cannot do things. There is the aqua do all things through Christ. Somebody says, aqua do all things through Christ that threatens me. They say, through Christ that threatens me. I love it. Aqua do all things through Christ that threatens me. Listen, you have to become powerful. You have to become powerful. Oh, it's only the pastors that pray for 5 hours. No, you too, you can pray 5 hours. It's only the pastors that must know the knowledge of the word of God and teach it. You too, you must become very powerful. Do you imagine you're a businessman who have word of knowledge, word of wisdom? And before you enter into that agreement, before you sign it, you are already knowing things. You already know that 12 months from now, this contract is going to blown out this way. In 1 year and a half, the guy will swindle you. So 12 months, the contract blows. You quickly change all the terms. Say, no, I think we have to end at this point and everything. Because by 1 year, 6 months, he will dupe you. Even if you're not going to end the contract, you are simply going to put in systems and structures to make sure the money does not end up in his hand. We have to be wise and intelligent. So when they said, the next time you're going to a prophetic meeting, don't just look for the breakthrough. Look for the breakthrough plus the oil.
Thank you.
No, me when I go to the prophetic meeting, I'm looking for the oil, I'm looking for the breakthrough. I'm looking for the oil. I'm looking for the breakthrough. So the breakthrough hits me. The oil too must hit me. I must also become more prophetic. I must also begin to hear God. The little ones that can help me, I must know. Before the prophet comes to now speak his word into my life, the Bible says you are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. It means that your life must be according to the principles that makes an apostle an apostle. So if I were you, one of the things I'll do this week, I'll begin to investigate and read about who an apostle, how do apostles behave? What is the thing that is working inside an apostle? What is the thing that is working inside a prophet? I want to understand what is this thing that is working inside a teacher. So when we put teachers here, evangelists and prophets and apostles and pastors here, it is that we will receive impartation. Paul said to the church in Rome, he says that I long to see you, that I will impart some spiritual gifts unto you for our mutual edification. He was not talking to pastors. He was talking to church members. He was talking to household of God. I want to release this apostolic gift to you so that you can become beneficial unto me. There has to be a people. It is over where it is only the pastor that is powerful and blessed and anointed and seeing and fire breathing and all of the things. The people must now also minister in cash, in kind, in material things, and in spiritual things as well. There must be a place like that. So we raise our churches and you realize that we have men that are tall than our churches. They are not in the community. Where do you find a foundation? Under. But today, where do you find a foundation? Up. What type of building is that? Collapse. That is what we have. Strive to become apostolic. Not that you become, you're an apostle now and everybody, okay, we are apostles. No. There has to be a certain enzyme working inside you. And that enzyme is eating you up. It's apostolic. That enzyme is eating you up prophetic. When I got here and I held the microphone and I started praying, ah, my God. I started seeing something. Not because I'm a prophet. But I opened my heart and said, Father, speak to me. Every time you say something to me. Every time I am hungry for a brand new word. We have a church that is only pastor. There's no pastor. The church does not function. One day there was a guy called a brother. He's called Brother Philip. He's called Brother Philip. He went to a place and he was preaching. And then he saw a guy from Ethiopia. He's called Ethiopia Eunuch. And they were discussing about the things of God. And they read a certain portion of scripture. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, draw closer to them. And he joined unto them. And he said, do you understand the thing that you read? He said, no. He explained the mystery. He's called Brother Philip. He explained the mysteries to them. The next time you talk about people being filled with the Holy Ghost, look into scripture carefully and look at how people were filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me finish and talk about that. And he explained to them, and the people caught the revelation. They said, here is water. What prevents us from being baptized? He put them in water and baptized them. When he finished baptizing, the Holy Ghost lifted him, and he was in another city, Azotus, and he was teaching and preaching the word of God. He is Brother Philip. In Acts chapter 6, Peter said, look for us men who are filled with the Holy Spirit to serve tables. They're going to be sharing food. They want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You should be filled with Holy Spirit to even go to your office. You should be filled with Holy Spirit to drink. You don't want to do. People should be filled with Holy Ghost to do powerful things they don't want to do. Somebody who is in the kitchen preparing food. In fact, he did not even prepare the food. He's going to serve. He's going to share the food. He's going to make sure everybody is okay. Everybody is well taken care of. He must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Today, musicians are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, musicians are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Ushers are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayer warriors are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, it is all gymnastics, gimmicks. Today, it's about colored lights in our auditorium. Today, it's about smoke coming from the ground. And there is no power of God today. Today.
People serving tables were filled with the Holy Ghost and power. How much more me?
We have to be very careful. God said to Moses, he said, there is a man called Bezalel. I have filled him with the spirit of the Holy Ghost.
I have filled him with the spirit of the Holy Ghost. He is the one who will build this building. Today, how many architects are filled with the Holy Ghost? Today, how many graphic designers are filled with the Holy Ghost? Today, how many designers, that fashion designer, I want to be the fashion designer, I want to be known by, and so you don't want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, how would you be known by the world? Your design is looking like we are just arriving from the desert. How can you be honored? Today, you give a graphic designer something to do, he will do something else, you are even more frustrated than. I tell the guy who designed for us, every time I notice that he keys into my heart to bring the thing out. You are doing a design for a company. That design to transcend seasons and time. You don't do a design 5 years after the line, we want to change the design again. How many architects are full of the Holy Ghost? You design a building, and then the devil knows that you tap anointing from him to design that building. He knows that you, this building, this design, you got it from me. He inspired you. Do you know how many designs are in heaven that as an architect you can pull out of heaven? Do you know the wisdom of the Holy Ghost? How many economists today are filled with the Holy Ghost? We think the filling of the Holy Ghost is only for the preacher. We think that the becoming apostolic is only the apostle who is standing in the pulpit preaching. You must go into the marketplace being apostolic, carrying power to execute, being able to bring design. You are sitting in a strategic meeting and the company is about to go down the next 6 months for just one single idea that will be brought out from the heavens, and there is no anointing to bring it. And next thing, everything collapses. The anointing has only been relevant in the pulpit. The anointing. Look, the prophetic is not just about mentioning names and addresses, and the prophetic is more than that.
Okay.
We must learn to bring the prophetic into engineering. Please rise up. I'm done with this preaching. We must learn to bring the prophetic into engineering. Bring the prophetic anointing. Today you understand your foundation. He holds an MPhil in education administration. You must now hold yourself and begin to pray. Father, give me an apostolic grace. Lord, put upon me the prophetic. Let me have design of curriculums. I told one preacher, one day I was in his own night, he invited some people to read scripture. So I also took the Bible and I went to read for him. I'm aggressive now. Then he said, okay. So he mentioned the scripture I should read. Then we were about 10. He mentioned to different person, different scriptures. So I read my own. Then when he finished, he said, all of you know something, go and prepare teaching notes on this and bring it to me. And I sat down, I still have the notes. I prepared a very powerful, sweet, sumptuous, very, very powerful notes on the passage for him. When he saw, he said, wow, big head. He said, you must come and serve under me. He said, you must come and serve under me. I will put you on radio, I'll put you on TV, the whole world will hear for you. I'll buy you a house, I'll buy you a car. I said, they're about to buy me and my gift. I'll be sold out. I'll not be on the market again. You want to pray and say, God, let the design of curriculum. What is the next trajectory in education that will begin to affect the world? Lord, put me at the cutting edge of it. Lord, put me at the cutting edge of that technology. Lord, what is the next thing that men would do that will bring money? And maybe you are a finance person. That is one of the things I'll be praying about. God, what is the next thing I need to step into? Makato basikata. We must push the limit in the spirit. God did not give us apostles so that we will receive apostolic blessings only.
so that the apostles will lay hand on us and preach apostolic teachings to us and be their church and say, we are apostles. Apostles are supposed to transform us to become apostolic in our functionality, in our doing, in who we are. Built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. These are the two revelatory, they are very revelatory. These two ministries. Very, very revelatory. Principle, therefore, means the basic truth that is fundamental to something. A guiding rule for personal behavior and conduct. It refers to the basic law, the rule or the methodology at work that cannot be ignored. There is a methodology at work in an apostle and prophet. We can't ignore it. I said the next time you go to a prophetic meeting, don't just go in seeking a breakthrough. Seek the oil, seek the mantle, plus the breakthrough. That mantle must do something in you. It means basic truth. What is that basic truth? What is that fundamental truth? What is that guiding rule? This indicates that we are built upon the underlining operational principles, the doctrine, the mentality, the philosophy, the lifestyle of the church, the lifestyle of these people. Our lifestyle must become apostolic and prophetic. And lastly, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. When you remove Jesus, the whole building will come down. So if you listen carefully to my teachings the weeks that went by, I said, beyond the apostle. Do you recall that? You were not here. Beyond the apostle. Beyond the prophet. What God is going to do is not going to be led by apostles. It's going to be led by Jesus Christ and his company of people. What God is going to do, it's not going to be led by prophets. It's going to be led by the people. It's going to be a people movement. It's going to be a move of God inside the people. So as an apostle, you have to adjust yourself. A prophet, you have to adjust yourself. After you would have released impartation, open up for the mutual edification so that you can also be in the movement. What God is going to do, it is not about some titles. It's about elevation of his people and empowering them through the graces that he has committed to the body. And so, Father, I want to be blessed by these graces so that I can walk in my calling. Next week, let me see where I'll start from. Maybe I'll start talking about work of ministry proper. What is work of ministry? And then we'll now talk about the call, the nature of the call. We'll talk about issues of relevance. Sometimes people think they are not relevant, but you are so relevant in the scheme of things. Who is filled with the Holy Ghost? Bezalel. What is Bezalel's work? He is building construction. Eh? Bezalel is not in the pulpit. Bezalel is building construction. Bezalel is doing mechanic work. I must be filled with the Holy Ghost to be a mechanic. Bezalel has a nice restaurant and 7 tables. Who is filled with the Holy Ghost? We have to come up high. I want you to lift your hand and just begin to pray to the Lord. Talk to the Lord now. Talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. You heard the word of God. Talk to the Lord. You've been provoked by something. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to him. My God, thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Hey, I open up for grace. Mataroka sita bahayaba. Rebebebe shakato gesikahaya. Mondo bobo siete de behakatos. Mada dabako sekete kapada dabako shakata kabada aya parapa kandalaba sakataya. You go back stronger and powerful. Lego dobo bobo shakata kabada aya dabako to debe kayando dobo shakata dadaba aya dabako sekete debe kayada dabako satada aya tobo dobo dobo sekete debe kayabadaba. Mato bedede be shekete de debako, shekete de debako.